305, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Gang, it is Wednesday, and this week, Wednesday means way more than it did last week. Because tomorrow, Friday Eve, is actually for many of us sort of the Friday. It's Independence Day, and it is going to be great. I have a question for you. Did you watch the live streams of the Unity rally last night? This was the big Unity event for my team. These are my people. I'll be voting for each of them. This was the, hey, let's all get together. We're all on the same page. Everything is fine. Keep going straight ahead. And I got to tell you, I think Governor Glenn Youngkin reminded everybody just what a great inspirational leader he is, a great campaigner. And I was thrilled, absolutely thrilled, with everything that the governor did last night. I was excited. Now, listening to Charles Pyle there, in his report, he said that Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears complimented Attorney General Jason Meares, but didn't mention John Reed in her speech. Maybe I was just caught up in all the excitement and all the hullabaloo and thinking, well, all right, we're all moving forward now, which is kind of where I want to be. Is that correct? Did I miss something, or did I insert something that wasn't actually there? If you were paying attention last night, you tell me what your perception was of the big GOP unity rally. You can hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Let me know. I personally happen to believe that we have a commonwealth to safeguard. My commonwealth, your commonwealth, our beloved commonwealth. I just want to see us do the right thing and keep Virginia from becoming California East or New York South. That doesn't mean that everybody's got to love each other. In fact, there's a part of me thinking, well, we elect each office individually. Maybe that's just really, you know, what it is we're all about. I don't know. I'm hoping that's the case. I'm just hoping that everybody last night got exactly what they needed out of it. I did. I'm good. I will proudly have each of the three signs up at Casa Cats. We'll have them on the road. We'll have them facing the course. Now, I've already got the John Reed signs up. Those were, I want to say, relatively easy to get. But I do know I have to replace some John Reed signs that I had placed around Hanover County. Because as I was driving around this morning, I noticed that at least one had been replaced by a sign. No, not for a candidate, so I can't get overly angry. Well, I'm a little angry. But one of them had been replaced with a sign for the Ashland Little League flag football thing. Now, I'm all in favor of Ashland Little League, and I'm all in favor of flag football, but leave the damn signs alone. I mean, you got plenty of space here. It's a big county. Put your signs up for sure. But I got to get some more of those. And I want to get a Winsome Earl Sears sign for out front and out back, and I want to get a Jason Meares sign for out front and out back as well. Happy to do everybody. And I hope, I said this to Rich Herrera this morning on Richmond's Morning News. I said, my hope is that Governor Youngkin is out there hitting the campaign trail as well. Think about it. Four powerful conservatives in different parts of the state crisscrossing the state for the next number of months. I think that would be great. But again, I'm curious to know what you took from it last night. The James River Air text line, always the best way for you to get in touch with me, 833-804-1140. One of my favorites, Brad Thor, is going to be with us at 3:35. There is a brand new Scott Horvath novel. Yep. I'm telling you, by the time I get them, to the time I finish them, most days, I have to push myself not to read it all at once. Doesn't that sound weird? But truthfully, I love Thor's writing so much, and I love the character of Horvath so much, I don't want it to go away really, really fast. I like lingering. I like holding on to it. So I think I've done it with this one. I would say to Brad, I will say to Brad at 3:35 when he joins us, I really want to keep this for Independence Day reading, Independence Day weekend. Friday, we've got some plans with friends. I'm not going to be sitting around their house reading, obviously. But Saturday and Sunday, I'm thinking I may steal an hour or two for myself and sit and enjoy this book. I read part of it the other night. I thought, oh, if I start it, I'm going to have to finish it. So I only read a couple of pages. All right, and then I went back and I read a couple more, but I didn't finish it. I didn't read it all the way through. I can't even tell you what happened. So I think I'm good at holding it off, or trying to hold it off for Independence Day. But Scott Horvath will be with us, right? Well, not actually. I mean, that would be pretty cool. That would actually be pretty cool if he could be here. But no, it'll be Brad Thor, who's a New York Times best-selling author. Yeah. John Reed, Lieutenant Governor candidate, is going to be with us at 4:35. Mike Dickinson will be here at 5:35. All sorts of great stuff. So I'm taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, do you want some cheese to go with your wine? What am I whining about? I don't think I'm whining about anything. I'm just asking if you heard something or didn't hear something last night in the Unity rally that either I missed or I somehow mentally inserted. 804 says, Jeff, I'm voting all red, but it does seem to me that Lieutenant Governor Sears is shooting herself in the foot with this constant snubbing of John Reed. Huh. All right. Joe in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, says, hey, Jeff, I thought it was low-key and boring. I was frankly hoping for more energy. Fair enough. Someone else says, Jeff, John was taking the high road, always has taken the high road, and was calling for unity, as he has. Yeah. Lisa in Hanover says, Jeff, why wouldn't Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears mention John Reed in her speech? Was it intentional? It just makes the party look bad. Wow. All right. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Which is, frankly, what I keep coming back to anytime you ask me about politics. Because, as you know, I hate politics. God, I hate politics. I really do. I hate everything about it. I mean, it is what it is. We got to do it, right? We need leaders, and this is how we do it. We elect people and blah, blah, blah. And it's a terrible system, as they've said, except for all the other, except for all the other systems, which are even worse. So we've got it. I just wish we could focus like with a laser beam and get stuff done. Because we really do have a commonwealth to protect. You got to remember something. Governor Youngkin came in after 8 years of epic mismanagement, terrible damage that had been done to Virginia. And he was able to right the ship, get us back on track, which is great. Now our challenge is going to be staying there. It's always easier to get stuff done, if you will. It's harder to stay on track, so I'm hoping we're able to do it. Anyway, we'll talk about that. We got a lot of stuff we'll be chatting about this afternoon. Again, James River Air text line available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It's Wednesday. It's not brutal. It's 80 degrees. Isn't it crazy? By comparison, it seems really, really, really comfy. Seems good. We need your help, and by we, I mean me. I am heading up Team Katz for the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. We have been charged. There are four of us, four teams, the four highest fundraisers ever in the history of our marquee event, the Father Figure. And collectively, we are charged with raising $100,000. But it's divided amongst four teams, and I got some pretty heavy hitters on my team. Tomorrow, down at Westchester Commons, they're going to be another concert, and that's Mark Bowen down there. Mark is on my team. Mark heads up all of that stuff. So you head on over there, and the Fatherhood Foundation Team Katz is actually the beneficiary of the big concert down there tomorrow. What is the kickoff? 5-6 in the evening? Something like that. And I would urge you, if you're down that way, check them out. Check them out. Westchester Commons. Always great stuff, great music. And Mark, I know, is working overtime there to get this all done. But tomorrow is the big concert, and we would love to have you down there. And that money, again, is going to be headed towards my team. So, yeah, here it is, 5:30 to 8:30. 5:30 to 8:30. Love to see you down there. And again, that money is going to head on over to Team Katz. We got some other events coming up. The easiest thing, and by the way, nothing fancy about this. I'm just telling you flat out, we got to raise the money. Simple as that. Why? Well, I love my kids. Pain in the rear end a lot of time, but I love them. And I know how much easier it is inside of families if, in fact, you have a father. There are now huge numbers of families without fathers, children who are growing up or trying to grow up without a father in their life. And I'm sorry to tell you this, it doesn't work. It works if it has to, but it's not as good as if dad is there. So the goal of the Fatherhood Foundation is today, as it's always been, helping dads be the best fathers they possibly can be. There you go. Simple as that. You want the details? I'm not going to give it here. Just go to Facebook. Go to The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Go to Radio Katz on Facebook, RadioKatz. Either one of them has the link there, and you will be able to click on it and make a donation. End of story. Hey, there's another Obama-appointed judge who thinks he was elected president of the United States. Yep, there we go again. Federal judge on Wednesday blocked President Trump's executive order that would have prevented illegal aliens crossing the border from seeking asylum. District Judge Randolph Daniel Moss said the order exceeds Trump's authority. And how does he know that? Because he was appointed by Barack Obama, and if anybody knows anything about exceeding the authority of the President of the United States, it would be the dude who appointed him to the bench. This is another one, I suppose, that is headed back to the Supreme Court. Do you see how dangerous it is to have these rogue judges out there? Judges who really do believe that they're the president. They are more important than anyone else. I got news for you. I didn't vote for him. I'm not interested in what he has to say. Not at all. That's it. Not interested. That being said, I'm hoping against hope, that it is going to be headed back to the Supreme Court, that that's where this winds up yet again. Maybe at that point there'll be a proper resolution. Maybe at that point we will actually have some answers. Maybe at that point we'll acknowledge that the President of the United States is the President of the United States. And these local judges, well, they're a lot of things, but President, they are not. Brad Thor is going to be with us at 3:35. Looking forward to chatting with him. Talking a lot about the latest Scott Horvath novel. It is called Edge of Honor. 3:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon, 82 degrees, and you know, we could very well see some more storms rolling through just the way it's going to be. Independence Day is looking pretty nice. Friday is really, really, really looking like a great day, not just to celebrate this nation, which ought to be number one on the list of things we do on Independence Day, but also to enjoy some time with friends and family. We've got a great couple of days coming up. My goal when I open this package containing the very latest from Brad Thor, it's called Edge of Honor, the latest Scott Horvath novel, was to not read it. It's not an offensive thing, and I'm hoping that Brad doesn't take it as an offensive thing. Man, I want to savor it. I don't want it to end. I don't want to just breeze through it and then have to go back and reread it right away. Brad, why do you do this to me?
This is like asking the drug dealer why his crack is so good, because that's my business, Jeff. Come on, man.
Well, I'll tell you what, then you are like the top of your business, because it is the biggest challenge is sitting there going, no, I'm going to limit myself. Nope, they're like potato chips. I'm going to read 10 pages and then I'm going somewhere. All right, 12 pages, that's it. And it just never works.
Well, I'm thrilled. That means I'm doing my job. And by the way, I hope you noticed the little nod to Richmond in the book.
Oh, well, tell everybody about the nod, please.
Yeah, so there's a really fun, Jeff, you've always been a big booster of mine. You've been so kind to me, sharing me with your audience all these years. And so I took one of the big action set pieces and brought in some FBI from Richmond and set it just outside Richmond. And it's a really, really cool scene towards the end of the book. So it's fun for me because the whole Edge of Honor book is about a big shadowy cabal in D.C., but it unfolds in D.C. and then outside. It spreads into Virginia and goes to Richmond. So that's kind of fun, and you're my contact with Richmond. So that was a neat thing for me to be able to do this year for you and for your listeners.
You are the best. Well, you already knew that from my tribute earlier. I have to know about this threat inside the government because you're tied into so much, and the research you do for the Scott Horvath novels, it's just off the charts. So, this is sort of the pitch piece for readers. What if the biggest threat to America was already inside the government? Well, Mr. Thor, do you know something we don't know?
This is fiction. This is toes in the sand, book in the hands. And what I wanted to do, listen, I want people to have a great fun time. I want to take them away from the real world, but also be as true to how spies work in the Navy SEALs and that kind of stuff. So my idea with this book was that the youngest American president since Kennedy has been elected. And there is a shadowy cabal, kind of like the Jacobins in the French Revolution, that don't like this guy. And they've decided the voters be damned. We don't care what they want. We have an agenda for the United States, and we're going to force this new president out of power by whatever means are necessary, even violence. And so Scott Horvath has been on a beautiful honeymoon with his new wife, a Norwegian spy. She's never seen the United States for the 4th of July. He wants to give her the best force possible, but they both get sucked into this plot to overthrow the government, and they both have their own storylines, which is kind of cool, kind of side by side in this book. So, like I said, he lives just near Mount Vernon. Stuff goes over to Richmond. Of course, a lot of stuff in D.C. So it was just a fun, patriotic red, white, and blue thriller for the 4th.
Oh, dude, it is red, white, and blue, rinse and repeat. It's great stuff. Although, I'm feeling like I could be developing a little bit of a crush on Scott's new bride. I mean, she's something else.
Solvi. Yeah, I mean, a little bit younger than him, definitely. And he admits she's smarter. She's more talented than he is as a spy. And he said the only area he's got her beat in the espionage game is that he's been at it longer and has more experience. Other than that, he swears she's better than him in every single category. So it's kind of fun to pit the two, not against each other, but to have them be on parallel tracks and see who's going to solve this thing first. So again, lots of fun. Set in your neck of the woods. Great to read over the 4th or any time this summer.
Oh, listen, this has Beach Read written all over it. I've been telling people about it already, Brad. Now, let me remind everybody, Brad Thor is here. Brad is absolutely my favorite author at this point when it comes to works of fiction. Scott Harvath is, I feel like he's a cousin. You know, every once in a while he checks in and go, no kidding, you were up to saving the world again. Good for you, dude. And who's the lovely lady on your arm? You know, give me more details. But this is, as you said, the toes in the sand sort of a read, except it just ends too quickly. I don't know if you just have to stretch them out more. You got to have more plots in there. Whatever it is, it's just always such a great read. What is it that inspires you about Harvath? Because authors that I've spoken to through the years, Brad, say, well, you know, there's a little bit of me over here. I kind of base that on this. You know, we mentioned Richmond because Jeff Katz and his audience. But what is it? There's got to be something about Harvath that you're thinking, you know, I never did get to do that, but he's doing it.
Yeah, he gets to do the things my wife won't let me do. I'm not going to run out and marry a 5'10", beautiful Norwegian spy, blonde, 15 years younger than me anytime soon. Not while I'm breathing. My wife's not going to allow that. So, listen, I think Jack Ryan was Clancy's alter ego. I think Bond was Fleming's alter ego. And Harvath is absolutely my alter ego. You know, we all have that wit of the staircase thing, as the French say, that we leave a cocktail party and as we're walking down the stairs, that we get hit with what a great rejoinder that would have been. I should have said this when that person said that. And the great thing about being an author is you don't have that gap. You get to have the great lines for your hero all the time, right at the tip of his tongue. And it's fun. This is my 25th novel. If you can't have fun in your career by the 25th, you're in the wrong business.
No kidding. You go in to your office, right? Do you literally treat this as a job, Brad? Are you sitting down every day at 8:15 saying, got to do 50 pages today?
It is seat of pants to seat of chair. It is 99.9 perspiration, and then that last little bit is inspiration. Yeah, it is a strictly disciplined business. You couldn't crank out a book a year for over two decades if you weren't disciplined. So, yeah, that's definitely me. I'm in that chair every morning, same time, cranking it out.
What's your ritual? Is there a specific type of coffee? Do you have to wear certain slippers? What do you do to make sure you're in that right frame of mind?
Who was it that was in Shakespeare in Love? Was it one of the Fiennes brothers? And he would be Shakespeare, but he'd spit on the ground, turn around three times, and then sit in his chair before writing. He had his ritual. You know what? I'm a big coffee drinker, but if I don't work out, that ruins the whole day. So I get up, I work out, I have a quick breakfast, then I'm in the office. There's nothing that's set that much in stone, but I have to get in the office, I have to start working, and I can't touch the internet, because all of a sudden you look up and half the day's gone.
Man, tell us a little bit about the banning in Saudi Arabia, because I thought I had forgotten about this. What was it? The Lost Patriot. You had fictionalized a piece of writing, and Saudi Arabia said, look, Mr. Thor, get out of here.
Yeah. No. So the Last Patriot, which is actually has a big setting at Poplar Forest, Thomas Jefferson's estate, which is really was a fun book to write But it fictionalized the idea that there was a chapter missing from the Muslim holy book, the Quran, and if it could be rediscovered, it would absolutely upend Islam. And as you can imagine, that did not go over well in Saudi Arabia, and that book got banned there. And it drew me a lot of unwanted attention. We actually ended up moving house after that book came out.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought it was just like, hey, well, you know, you got 25 books. We'll sell 24 of them and don't plan any, you know, don't plan any summertime activities here. I didn't realize it was that bad. Gosh, that's
it was sticky.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're friends with DHS, though, right? Homeland Security. What did they recruit you into now? Another group of writers and artists where you just sit around? Where you sit around and brainstorm terrorist scenarios?
Yeah, so that's called the Analytic Red Cell Unit, and I got invited in. My buddy, another terrific writer, Brad Meltzer, was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Movie directors, they brought all these creative people in from outside the Beltway to help them outsmart and out-creative the bad guys. Where might they hit us next at home and abroad? And, you know, government is often criticized for fighting the next war by looking in their rearview mirror and not looking forward over the horizon. And so they brought us in, like I said, outside the Beltway people who don't have that kind of government think, and we helped them war game different scenarios. And as the son of a United States Marine, it was an honor.
Well, you are somebody who gives back all the time. I want to remind everybody, the latest book is called Edge of Honor, and it is a must read. Before we go any further, Brad, just let everybody know exactly the best place to get a copy of it. Is it bradthor.com? Is it amazon.com? What do you suggest?
It's wherever you love to buy your books, your audiobooks, your ebooks, wherever it is. You can go to bradthor.com. I described the book. There's a bunch more information about the book there and links to retailers. But whatever book seller you want to give your lovely business to, go to them. They'll have it.
All right. Now, I am going to contradict you, Mr. Thor. I am going to tell people they need to go to... No. They have to go to bradthor.com because that's where they can actually get the challenge coin for Edge of Honor, right? You're not going to find that at Amazon. Maybe you get a coffee over there, but there are no challenge coins over there. You need to go to bradthor.com.
Yeah, and that's a fun thing we do every year. We do these limited edition challenge coins, and for people who aren't familiar with those, you see those in the law enforcement, the military community. It's a way of kind of saying, hey, good job. Sometimes you'll have a big wig visit you, and you'll get a coin because you impress them or they're impressed with your unit and vice versa. So it's just a neat thing that I started years and years ago, and fans just absolutely love it.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, poke you and remind you I need one of those for my collection. I've got them for other books, but I'm just mentioning it as an aside. Don't take it. The other thing is this.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all. Listen, you've sold a billion books. Believe me, some loudmouth that says send me a coin is not going to ruin it for you. I promise. But tell everybody about the phrase "stay in the fight" because I have to think. There are, I don't know, three people left on planet Earth who don't understand I will stay in the fight for freedom. I'm looking at the eye chart right now, or that phrase, stay in the fight. What does that mean to you? Why do you share that all the time?
So to me, it means remaining a responsible citizen and staying in your position of seeing to it that we hand a freer, more successful, more prosperous nation down to the next generation than was handed to us. And the term comes from an old Delta Force operator I know when I met him years ago and said, how would you like me to sign your book? And he said, I want you to sign it, stay in the fight. In fact, that should be your motto for everything. Stay in the fight. You're never out of the fight. And so that's where that comes from.
I love it. Well, it is everywhere. This is all kidding aside. People, I do believe, should go to bradthor.com and load up on some of this. The other thing that makes you so different from other folks, other authors, Brad, is that you actually travel. You go to bookstores. You do signings. You just seem to really love your fans almost as much as we love you.
I thank you, and it's definitely mutual. And as you and I are doing this Thursday night, I'm going to be at up in D.C. at Politics and Prose on Connecticut Avenue doing a book signing. So if anybody's in the neighborhood Thursday night at 7 o'clock, come on by and see me. at Politics and Prose.
Well, Brad, as you know from the book Edge of Honor, D.C. is just a stone's throw from Richmond. And so, yes, this is a relatively easy commute up 95. We want to send everybody up there to get the book and get it signed. Tell everybody again where it is and when.
So it is at Politics and Prose on Connecticut Avenue, and it will be Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and that's also on bradthor.com. I have that information there, too, so you can get it there.
Love it.
You forget.
Last question. What's the next one? I mean, have you already finished like half of it already, the next Harbath novel?
I am working on something, and knowing you the way I do, I know I could trust you, but I worry about my competitors that listen to your program and want to get a leg up on my plots. This is ultra top secret. We'll get you an early copy once it's done, but I want to be very careful. This is a state secret.
All right. Well, listen, I'm not telling Meltzer anything. My two favorite authors are both named Brad, but Meltzer, easy. I got nothing for him on this one. No, this is great. I think I've said it every time you've been on here. This is the best Harbath novel yet, and I'm looking forward to saying that again in, 9-10 months from now. And it is just such an enjoyable read. Again, bradthor.com. That's my opinion, where you should go immediately. Thursday, Brad is actually going to be up in D.C., Politics and Prose on Connecticut Avenue in the district, if you want to get up there. Brad, it is okay with you, I hope, if we take Edge of Honor, the latest novel about Scott Harbath, and add it to the Jeff Katz Book Club online. Is that okay?
Oh, that would be fantastic. The only thing I ask in return is when you get the keys to Richmond for being the reason Richmond features so prominently in the book, that you'll invite me to the ceremony.
You got it, brother, and I'm mailing you off as we speak. I've addressed an envelope to you with one of the Jeff Katz challenge coins. You got one for your collection.
All right, I'll return the favor to you, my friend. Thank you.
You're a great man. Hey, safe travels. Enjoy the event in D.C., and again, thank you for making time for us always, but thanks again for another great read. You put a big old smile on my face, and you forced my wife to look around the house for me, and that's it's all good stuff.
Well, right back at you, and happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day, brother. Stay in the fight. That is Brad Thor. I'm just telling you right now, you need something to read during the summer. Every one of us needs something to read during the summer. I love the Harbath novels. You know that because Brad's been here, or he has 25 books, so I don't know, about 25 times throughout the years, and they're great reads. And I mean that. I mean it from the bottom of my heart when I say it's difficult not to simply say, no, Heidi, I will be along. I did this the other night. She's like, are you coming to be? I am. Okay, make sure the Pixie went out. Yeah. Pixie's fine. Charlie, yeah, everybody's good. And I swear, like, oh, I'm just going to read 10 pages, 15. All right, a chapter. That's all I'm going to read is a chapter. And then, man, here we are. But Edge of Honor is the latest one. It is Brad Thor. Bradthor.com is the website. I would urge you to get it. Now, if you're interested in the other Brad Thor accoutrements, there's great stuff there. If you're just looking for the book, okay. You go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. I know there's a Barnes & Noble reopening in the shopping center in Glen Allen on Brook Road where they used to be. They kind of switched stores. What was it, like 2 years ago? They shut down the big one. They got a smaller one going in. But Edge of Honor, absolutely a great read. 352, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.